News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away three ball. Good! Phillip Winston with the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk, 103.9 FM, 750 AM, KOAL.
Sports Talk, 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values are all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah! Welcome to a brand new week of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson. How about that football game last night?
Yeah, that was a doozy.
No, we didn't get football last night. We thought we were going to get football. Hall of Fame game last night. Thought we were going to get to see Green Bay go toe-to-toe with Indianapolis. It didn't happen. It did not ruin the weekend festivities. I mean, as far as the Hall of Fame goes, we got to see a tremendous class go in. The only question I have, and this is a legitimate question, how does a $12 billion organization screw up a preseason football game? And that's a fair question. I know things happen. I get it. That can't happen.
No, you had all this time, you had all summer to plan for this event, plan for the game, and then the day of the game, you decide that the conditions on the field are not playable. So these are situations that the NFL, like you said, a $12 billion industry can't let happen, and they let it happen.
Now, you know what happened with everything, right? Like, you know the process of what happened. For those of you out there who are unaware of what happened, here you go. This is all according to reports. The first layer of paint was the wrong kind of paint. Wasn't drying fast enough. So they decided to use heaters on it. That melted the rubber in the field turf and turned it into tar. Here's the worst part of it all. They tried putting solvent on it, which is paint thinner. That stuff has a... I've worked with that kind of stuff before.
Yes.
It's horrible. And if it gets in your eye, it burns. You can actually go blind if it's in your eye.
It eats up everything.
They put that on the turf. That was a water label. To have that little burn our skin off. They put that on the field. Basically, they made it worse. So they had a series of missteps to cover up the initial screw-up, and that led to the game getting canceled. Now, the night before, you had Tim McGraw, who performed a concert again at Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. The field was trash before Tim McGraw played the concert. A lot of people on Twitter want to blame Tim McGraw. The field was garbage before then anyway. It's just hard for me to understand how the NFL preseason or not. This is a nationally televised game. How you screw it up this bad. And to my knowledge, and I could be wrong here, I don't think a lot of football is played at Tom Benson Stadium.
I don't think there is.
I don't know. I could be wrong, but you go through the story of where the turf came from. This was the former turf from where the New Orleans Saints play, I believe. It was their field, so it was donated to Tom Benson Stadium. You got one job, and that's to plan a game a year out. Like, you know this game is going to take place. And there are a lot of upset people, and I don't blame them. I would be upset, too.
A lot of people plan their weekend to travel out there to go to the game and the Hall of Fame induction and all that, and they don't get the game.
Right, and here's the thing. I've never been there to Canton. I planned a trip because growing up, Marshall Faulk was my favorite football player. When Marshall Faulk was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, I wanted to go for the weekend. I wanted to go to the game. I wanted to go to the ceremony. So I looked into it. I was briefed that there could be a labor stoppage and there may be no Hall of Fame game. That's why I didn't make the trip. I had a heads up that, hey, this game might not take place. These poor people had no heads up. And here's the really crappy part about the whole thing. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is a non-profit organization. They're refunding only the game tickets. That's it. It was a statement that was released on their website. They said that credit card purchases will be put back on the card, checks will be cut to people who paid by check, and the fans who paid cash can request a refund by person or mail. The Hall of Fame said it is not responsible for any tickets sold on resale sites, but the big sites like StubHub, they refunded those who purchased tickets as well. And then David Baker, the Pro Football Hall of Fame president, told ESPN that the organization would refund the tickets, which is going to be about $4 million, and nothing more. Fans actually thought that they would get a reimbursement as far as hotels and maybe travel expenses. That's not happening. You're going to get your money back for your ticket to the game, and that is it. We're talking about a $12 billion league here in the NFL. That's just bad form. That's bad form. I mean, you really screwed up big time here. This is embarrassing for the NFL. It really is.
And look, to kick things off, this is your marquee opening, so to say, of football season, and you screwed it up already.
Yeah, they screwed it up bad. Now, we will get some NFL football this week, Thursday. That's when we believe we'll get some NFL football. Full slate of games. Washington will be on the road to take on Atlanta. We get Tampa Bay at Philly, New Orleans at New England. Now, Tom Brady can't play in that game.
Tom Brady is...
He can play in the preseason.
Yeah, but he's not going to, right?
They're not going to play him at all in the preseason?
I don't think they're going to play him a lot in the preseason.
He's got to play something.
He's got to get a few snaps.
You got to. You absolutely have to. Carolina will be at Baltimore. Jacksonville will be at the Jets. And Denver at Chicago. Typically, that's the way it works with suspensions. You can play in the preseason. He's allowed to play in the preseason, right?
I believe so. But the Patriots, they haven't even added a backup quarterback yet going into the season with Brady being out, so...
It's Garoppolo's job right now.
Yeah, so if he goes down, who the heck knows what happens?
Now let's move away from NFL football talk. We can talk more NFL a little bit later on in the show. Right now, Team USA men's basketball squad, they are playing. Now, I don't want to ruin things for you because, of course, you can watch games on tape delay and all that with the Olympics. But I'm going to talk about the score right now. 10-7, the USA with a lead, 3 minutes and 46 seconds to play in the opening quarter. Kevin Durant has 7 points. He's 3-3 from the field. Kyrie Irving has 2 points for Team USA, and that 1 point goes to Paul George. He went 1-of-2 at the foul line. Venezuela, they don't have a very good team. I was looking over their roster. This should be a 40-point blowout for Team USA, as should most games. I'm an Olympics guy. Do you watch the Olympics?
Yeah, I like the Summer Olympics. I like the basketball. I like the swimming. I'm more of a Summer Olympic guy than winter. But I do like the hockey aspect of the winter.
Well, look, the Summer Olympics have been great so far. You talked about swimming last night, Michael Phelps. How incredible was Michael Phelps last night. I can't put it in perspective.
No.
That he's won 19 gold medals.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest athletes of all time. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Michael Phelps was absolutely brilliant last night. And again, that's the name that's going to garner the most attention. I know there were some other great things that happened last night in the world of swimming. One of the ones that stand out to me, Katie Ledecky was fantastic last night, breaking the world record as well in the pool. So the Summer Olympics have been a lot of fun so far. You take a look at the medal count right now. The USA, they lead the way as far as the medal count goes. They have 3 gold, 6 silver, 4 bronze, total of 13 medals so far. Second place is China, third place is Japan, and then Italy is fourth. That's how the medal count stands right now. So 13 medals for Team USA. China does have the most golds. They have 4 golds. USA has the most silvers with 6. Japan has the most bronze with 7. But again, the score right now, USA 10, Venezuela 9. We'll keep you updated on this game throughout the show. And again, I'm sorry if you're going to watch this a little bit later on. But is this game, is it live right now? Is it on live? It may be on live right now. I don't have the broadcast schedule in front of me.
I believe this game is live right now.
It may be live right now.
It's what played later.
But live right now. Some people like to record the Olympics, watch them at night. So if I did spoil that for you, I apologize. Let's take a look at what's happening in Major League Baseball as far as the schedule goes. Full slate of games. Tampa Bay at Toronto at 5:07. San Francisco will be at Miami. We get Atlanta at Milwaukee. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. Houston will be at Minnesota. 6:10 start time there. Cincinnati at St. Louis. Texas at Colorado. And then at 8 o'clock, we get Baltimore at Oakland. Detroit at Seattle, and Philadelphia will be on the road to take on the Dodgers. That's an interesting series right there, because Philadelphia, they're not a very good baseball team. They're 9 games under .500. The Dodgers have narrowed the gap in the NL West to 1 game following their victory yesterday and a slip-up once again by the San Francisco Giants. The Dodgers could tie the Giants in the win column with a win tonight over Philadelphia. I think they get it done as well. The Giants continue to play sub 500 baseball. And here's the thing, the Dodgers haven't even been that great. The Giants have just been that bad.
Giants have been bad, and tonight you get Johnny Cueto against Jose Fernandez, two of the elite pitchers in this league. But San Francisco just keeps trying to skate by right now, and the Dodgers have just lain in the woods, and the Dodgers have consistently played better baseball down the stretch. And with this is without their ace. This is without Clayton Kershaw, and the Giants are full throttle healthy now.
I was wrong, because when Clayton Kershaw went down, I mean, just looking at the statistics, any baseball guru or statistic guru would tell you the Dodgers were finished when Clayton Kershaw went down.
Yeah.
I mean, they were bad without Kershaw on the mound, and, you know, they picked it up. They played well. I wasn't the biggest Andrew Friedman fan, but you know how they say, trust the process. The Dodgers have played a lot better baseball. A lot of series and a lot of games to start watching as far as Major League Baseball goes. We get down to the final stretch. We can dive into that a little bit later. We're going to pause for a moment. We'll give you an update on the local sports front. I also have to talk UFC Fight Night 92, which was this past Saturday in Salt Lake at Vivint Smart Home Arena. The first time that this state has ever played host to a UFC event. I was there, covered the event. It was a lot of fun. Court McGee, Utah native, picked up the victory at the welterweight level, defeating Dominic Steele by unanimous decision. Court McGee sat down with the media after. We're going to get to that interview in just a bit. Plus, we'll talk some NASCAR for you as well. Right here on Drive Time Sports. Kyle Wheeler, 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
Being a sports fan can be painful. Whether you are participating in a sport or cheering on your favorite team, your chance of injury is higher. Local orthopedic surgeons Dr. Kelly Jensen and Dr. Scott Justison encourage all you sports fanatics to stretch properly before either participating in a sport, or if you're a passionate fan, you get a little too into the game. If you're injured, call 637-4800 for more information or to set up an appointment with either Dr. Jensen or Dr. Justison.
I've been working with this old dude. He has to be in his 50s. He asked me one day why I was walking so funny. I told him that I've always had a bad back, but yesterday I must have pulled something. He stopped me and took me to the office to fill out an injury report. How crazy was that? Then he told me to go see the doctor and ask for a referral to Castleview Physical Therapy. I did what the old dude said. Castleview Physical Therapy helped me so that I don't walk funny. And now I can work without pain. I guess old dudes do rule. And so does Castleview Physical Therapy.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. For the first time ever on Saturday, Utah played host to an Ultimate Fighting Championship event. This one was held at the Vivint Smart Home Arena in Salt Lake City, and the main event featured a featherweight bout between Alex Caceres and Yair Rodriguez. Rodriguez got the victory by split decision. Now, while Rodriguez and Caceres was the main event on the evening, it seemed as if the crowd got behind Court McGee, Utah native, who went toe-to-toe with Dominic Steele in a three-round welterweight bout. McGee got the win behind a ruckus crowd of nearly 7,000 who cheered loudly throughout the entire fight. McGee won the three rounds on the judges' scorecard 30-27, 29-28, and 29-28. Following the victory, the Orem native talked about getting the win in his home state.
No words to describe it. I've been fighting for the UFC for a little over 6 years now since I won the Ultimate Fighter, and it's like, you know, your dreams to make it to the UFC and compete at the highest level, and then, I don't know, to have a show, the biggest show in the world in your home state, and then to get a big win. I mean, it's just, I don't know, I got emotional walking to the cage. The crowd was so loud. It was just incredible. No words to describe the feeling.
The rumor surrounding the contest was that the loser may be dropped from the UFC, adding to the importance of the victory for McGee. All in all, there were 12 bouts on the first ever card in Utah. According to the numbers released following the bout, nearly 7,000 people were in attendance, and the gate itself brought in $441,000.
This past weekend, there was a horseshoe tournament that took place in Emory County in conjunction with the Sidewalk Jamboree. This was on Saturday as 10 teams signed up for the first year of hosting the event in Castledale. First place went to Cody Allen and Chad Allen. Second place went to Justin Prettyman and Benji Gaylor. And third place went to Moj Kaloji and Bob Beckstead. The horseshoe competitions will continue. Up next is the Carbon County Fair this Saturday. Sign up will be at 11 a.m. and the tournament will begin at noon. This will be one of the many events in conjunction with this year's Carbon County Fair. The Carbon High School drill team and cheer squads are putting on their camp once again. This will be held today and tomorrow from 12 to 2 p.m. each day. It will be held at the Carbon High School gym. The cost is $35 for girls or boys ages 3 to 15. Now, those who participate will perform this Friday, August 12th at 7 p.m. at the Blue and White football game. Each participant will also receive a T-shirt to wear at the game and a gift. You can call Julie at 650-8522 or Rihanna at 650-3565 if you have any questions or if you need more information. Again, this is the Carbon High School Drill and Cheer Team Camp. That'll take place today between noon and 2 and tomorrow once again. And finally, it is the week where the fall sports season makes its return to the Castle Country. This week, we get Emory High School golf, and we'll also get set up for the black and gold and blue and white game for football, as both Carbon and Emory will showcase for the very first time this season. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on the fall high school sports season throughout the week. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for two, foul and one.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castledale. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castledale.
Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Catton and Miller Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As a trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
This is Joe Piccolo, owner of Supreme Auto Repair. I'm currently looking for ASE-certified technicians to work in our high-volume shop. I want individuals who are motivated by a high earning potential, pay attention to important details, and are interested in being part of a great team. Supreme offers benefits that include insurance, vacation, and uniforms. If this description is you or someone you know, send your resume to 911 East 100 North or stop by our shop in the Piccolo Car Care Center behind Smith's for an application.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. We're going to talk UFC for this particular segment. This past weekend, Saturday, the UFC made its first stop ever in the state of Utah. We had Fight Night 92 at Vivint Smart Home Arena. This was a lot of fun. I was fortunate enough to be there as a credentialed media member. 12 fights in all, the main event. Yair Rodriguez going toe-to-toe with Alex Caceres. Rodriguez got the split decision victory. There was some controversy around that. One judge scored at 49-46 in favor of Caceres. A lot of people thought that Rodriguez had won the fight. Two judges saw it that way. Rodriguez grabbed a 48-47 win on the other two scorecards. But it seemed like the night really belonged to Court McGee, Utah native. Everybody knows Court McGee's story. In fact, he's joined us on Drive Time Sports multiple times. From Orem, Utah, trains out of Absolute MMA, went toe-to-toe with Dominic Steele in the welterweight classification. As soon as McGee emerged from the locker room, the crowd just went absolutely bonkers.
I mean, that was a huge crowd for Court McGee. He rode that momentum, knocked Dominic Steele down right out of the gate with a right hook, and from that point on controlled the bout. He did win it 30-27 on one judge's scorecard, 29-28 on the other two scorecards. So Court McGee keeping his UFC career alive. A lot of people thought that that may be for a contract. The loser of that fight may just lose their deal with UFC. So that was a big deal for Court McGee. He got the win. Following that, he gave the media about 10 minutes following that win, talking a little bit about the experience and what's next for Court McGee in UFC. So here's that interview. This is from Saturday night following Court McGee's victory over Dominic Steele at UFC Fight Night 92 in Salt Lake.
No words to describe it. I've been fighting for the UFC for a little over 6 years now since I won the Ultimate Fighter, and it's like, you know, your dream is to make it to the UFC and compete at the highest level, and then, I don't know, to have a show, the biggest show in the world in your home state, and then to get a big win. I mean, it's just, I don't know, I got emotional walking to the cage. The crowd was so loud. It was just incredible. No words to describe the feeling.
Talk about that first round. Before this fight, you had kind of said that you were looking at your fights coming up in 5 minutes.
Yes.
15 minutes. Were you disappointed? Like, how close did you feel like you had him when you had his back, took his neck?
I was real close. I was real close. I sat him down, and I got pretty good position on him, and I got the rear naked in, but I couldn't sink the rear naked. He had good hand control, and I was kind of switching for it and moving it, and I used a little freedom rock, and I tried to hit it hard, and he was close, you know, but his will to keep fighting just was, you know, a little bit more. I tried to roll him to mount, lost the position, came up. I just didn't want to sit my back on the cage, so I switched, and I tried to not rest in bad positions, so... And that's what we train for. So we train for the grueling end, you know, but it's nice to know that you can get a finish. But, hey, man, sometimes you just do the best you can.
I'm sure you go into a fight expecting your opponent to do certain things. Was there anything he did that was unexpected?
No. I have really great coaching. We watched some footage, so we kind of knew what you know. We knew what to anticipate, but you never know exactly until you get out there and you feel the guy. You don't know if a guy's really strong or if they're really good against the cage or if they hit really hard. So it's just that fill-out process is real small for me. Like I don't go out trying to fill people out, and I come out hard, and, you know, I try and look for a win, and I fight my butt off. And, you know, that's what I did tonight, and it went the distance. But, you know, it just shows me that I'm improving, but follow through and finish is what I'm looking for.
It was a glorious, probably so far, a glorious fight over the night.
Yeah.
How's your face?
It feels good. I mean, I don't know. I think that was my 28th fight, and I've probably had maybe like four of them where I didn't get stitches. So, you know, it's just it's one of those things. The blood doesn't bother me. I don't focus on that. I focus on fighting. And so... That just comes with the territory. Course, so you just work around it.
Sorry, can you take us through the very beginning sequence? I mean, you came out punching, and then you got that quick take.
Well, I jabbed. Yeah, I jabbed, and I threw a jab to the bottom, and it came with an overhand right, and I clipped him, and I sat him down, and I just kind of like, oh, hey, I sat him down. Okay, go, you know, and I don't know, I popped back up, I shot, took his back, dumped him, and then threw on the rear naked choke. But I was... He had good hand control right off the bat, and I was kind of in a tight position, so I had it back behind him, but my elbow couldn't stretch, so I thought I would try and belly him out, and if I could belly him out, maybe I could, you know, fish in that rear naked. But he burst out of that, and we got back into a scramble. So he was really good at scrambling when I got control. So my hat's off to him for, you know, having that will to keep battling.
How much of a factor was the home crowd for you?
Oh, man. The drive I got, like I said, when I walked out, man, I got emotional. I had to, like, okay, hold on, man. You get back to walking out to the cage. You're getting ready to fight. You know, it's just, I knew my family was there. I know I've got thousands of fans that have followed my entire career. I feel the love, especially here in Utah. And just to hear that, like, I don't know. It's just, there's no words to describe how incredible it is. And it was definitely a motivating factor to push harder and to search for that win.
Coming on that, you said your kids were here for the first time. You finally got to watch. Did you get a chance to talk with them and see what they thought?
I didn't talk. I couldn't hear them, man. The crowd was so loud. But I found my way to them. I can't see very well because I wear glasses, you know, and it's like I can see you guys, you know, 3 or 4 feet away, which is good because the guy without the shirt is the one I'm supposed to punch, and the guy with the shirt's the one that you don't punch. And so that's good, but I had somebody lead me over to him. Hey, your kids are over here. And I went, and I gave both of them hugs. Neither of them have both been to my fight at the same time, and my wife, my dad, my brother, my sister-in-law, and both of my children are here, 9 and 5. And so I was a little bit nervous just because of the blood and stuff like that, you know, and they've seen it on TV, but 5-year-old, I don't know if they know what they're watching, you know. My 9-year-old does, but it was just an incredible feeling, hugging them, and, you know. So my littlest boy sneaks in at night, and he sleeps on my right side, so I'm hoping that he's, like, doesn't freak out because of the stitches.
But, how many stitches did you get?
I think 6 or 7 under, and then about 15 on top, or 16.
So how long would that put you out?
They'll probably give me like a 30-day suspension, but I'll get the stitches out after 7 days, and then the dissolvable ones under will dissolve on their own.
You seem very focused, and just maybe because it's at home and comfortable. Was there something different in this fight camp that really led you to this victory? You seem just, not that I don't want to say a different sport, but you came so focused. What was it about this training camp that really, you know, worked out for this time?
You know, I went through a little adversity at first. I got a message on Twitter, hey, we're coming to Salt Lake City, and I just I sent a message to Joe, and I said, hey, man, I need to be on this card, but I had to get something fixed. And so they got me in and got me operated on within 2 days, and that was about 6 weeks ago. And I came out, went straight to practice, and in my first week, I got staph infection. And so I was on antibiotics, and, you know, it just, even though I had a little bit of adversity, it's like I reunited with Rob Hanley, the coach who coached me 9 years ago when I fought in this venue against Jeremy Horn, my first real, real big fight in a big venue. And it's just been incredible. You know, I have 2 or 3 of my closest teammates, the guys that I hugged after the fight, Brock, Steve, Ramsey, Jason South. I've got Dana Ristizabal. I've got, you know, 6 or 7 guys that just are there for me, and we're there for each other no matter what. When we got fights to get ready for, we get ready for them. I had the help of Kyler Sanderson, you know, one of the 4 Sanderson brothers that, you know, incredible wrestler who helped me. We knew this guy was a wrestler, so I got one of the best wrestlers in the country, you know, to come hold me down and take me to the ground. So it worked out better than I could have planned myself.
How significant is this for the sport in the state to have this event here tonight?
Oh, it's huge. The revenue it brings, and the level of professionalism the UFC has. You know, the athletic commission, everybody involved, you know, it's like I know all the commissioners, I know everybody in the state that has anything to do with mixed martial arts. And so it's just huge. And a lot of the local MMA guys had an opportunity to come and see this. And there's guys that are right on the cusp of making it into the UFC. We have a huge MMA community. So it was super important that the UFC came here. It gives guys the motivation to train hard and achieve goals. I didn't think I'd ever make it to the UFC. Shoot, I didn't think I was going to make it past like 21 or 22, you know. And I got sober April 16th, 2006, and I had a dream, and I'm following that dream. And anybody else who has a dream in mixed martial arts can make it if they're willing to put the work in. And there's a great mixed martial arts community in here in Utah, so it's huge for the MMA community. It's huge for fans, people who didn't know about the UFC. And to have an opportunity to come, if you've never been to a UFC event, like, you sit in there and you feel that. I mean, there's nothing like it in the world. Nothing like it. So it's just incredible for the community, incredible for Utah, and incredible for mixed martial arts fans and competitors alike.
court. I thought the fight was very close after the second round. How did you feel going into the third round as far as the competitiveness?
I mean, I definitely thought I won the first round. The second round, I felt like I was up, but I knew it was pretty close. And then going in the third round, I knew I had to be in dominating fashion. It's kind of challenging. You know, it's like I've had a guy's close to being finished, and you can't let up, you know, and think I got this guy. And so I wanted to make sure I didn't make that mistake. Because I know if you almost fish me, I'm dangerous. You know, you get me close to something, you get me off, you know, and that's how a fight goes. And so, and I know he's dangerous. I know he's a brawler. I know he's, you know, has knockout power. And so just keeping my head in the game, staying focused, and sticking to what we train and believing in my training was key. But, you know, I felt good about my performance tonight.
After such a big fight, such an emotional fight, a big moment in your career, what's next? What do you foresee next?
Well, I'm going to rest up a little bit. My boys have had this whole summer, and I've been in training camp getting ready for fights. So I promised my wife and kids that I would take them camping and take them fishing. So, you know, I'll have a week off until I get these stitches. So we might do a little bit of camping, a little bit of fishing, and then right back to practice. I haven't taken any time off since I started, except for when I'm injured. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Get back on the horse and then focus on making my way up the ladder, you know, and making it to the UFC welterweight title. Golden?
Thanks,
all right. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Again, that was Court McGee after his victory over Dominic Steele at UFC Fight Night Saturday in Salt Lake. Great crowd, about 7,000 in attendance. I believe the reported gate dollar amount was $441,000, if I remember correctly. Hopefully we get the UFC back relatively soon. It was a whole lot of fun, and I thought the main event was great as well. We've got to pause for just a moment. We have plenty more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. I'm going to talk Alex Rodriguez. We're going to talk NFL football and the monstrosity that was the Hall of Fame game. We got plenty more coming up when we return. We do got to pause for a quick commercial break, though, here on AM 750 and 103.9 FM.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's pizza.
Huh?
You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's. Located at 170 West, 100 South.
4, 3, 2, 1. Gentlemen, start your engines.
It's now time for a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series update. And Sunday on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, Denny Hamlin held off Joey Logano to take home the checkered flag at Watkins Glen International Raceway, his first victory at the track. It also just so happened to be that yesterday's victory was the first for Denny Hamlin of his career on a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series road course. The race was in doubt until the final quarter when Martin Truex Jr. was pressuring Hamlin, who led the final 10 laps after surging past Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch in Turn 1 following a lap 81 restart. But Truex never got a chance to drag race Hamlin's number 11 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota to the finish line. The cars neared the exit from Turn 7 with Truex running second and and Keselowski third. Contact from Keselowski's number two Ford sent Truex spinning. Defending race winner Joey Logano took advantage of the melee, and he finished second ahead of Keselowski in the 2014 Watkins Glen winner A.J. Allmendinger, who finished just ahead of fifth place Tony Stewart. Kyle Busch was sixth, Martin Truex Jr. seventh, Jamie McMurray eighth, Trevor Bayh ninth, and Matt Kenseth 10th. Following the victory on KOAL, Denny Hamlin talked about taking home the checkered flag.
Great day, obviously, on the racetrack. It was an eventful race, but an uneventful race for us. We executed perfectly, didn't make any mistakes on pit road. Pit crew did great. We had a great strategy there at the end. Made a great call to stay out, hoping for those caution laps that we needed, knowing that the trend was that we were going to get those caution laps. That allowed us to make it on fuel. And then there at the end, really, we just executed on our restarts. That's been key is you've got to get through the first couple corners on restarts. And really for us, those two guys were going for it. They slipped up and opened up a door for us to go through there and win.
Second place finisher Joey Logano continued by talking about a crazy day once again at Watkins Glen.
It was crazy any way you look at it. Typical Watkins Glen, man, it's just awesome. Crazy racing, full contact, just insane out there. So a lot of fun from the driver's seat, and I'm sure the fans today loved it as well in front of a sold-out grandstand. So, it was pretty cool. When I pulled over for the red flag in front of the grandstands, and I can hear just fans screaming and yelling and loving it. And I thought, man, this is really cool to be in the driver's seat right now. And I don't know, I had one of those moments I thought it was neat. But overall, our car was really good today. Driver shot himself in the foot a little bit with getting some damage on the bus stop, and we're working our way back through the field and ripped the splitter up, and then that was kind of the beginning of the end. Really hurt our race car through the fast parts of the racetrack, so through the S's, carousel, a little bit of 11. Didn't really hurt us in the bus stop any, and that's where we were the fastest car, but we got ourselves in position to win the race, but I didn't have the speed in the race car to make it happen. So, and it wasn't anyone's fault but mine. So, a little mad at that. We got so close to that sweep again here at Watkins Glen, winning yesterday and, getting second today. So just so close. Just, wish I could take one corner back the whole race, and we'd be probably sitting in victory lane right now. I thought we were faster in the 11, through the parts that, we needed to be early in the race to be able to beat them. So, unfortunately, we're sitting here second, but not awful considering what our car looked like.
Following Sunday's race, Brad Keselowski is now the points leader in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. He's just 9 points ahead of Kevin Harvick, who is in second. Kurt Busch is third. Kyle Busch is fourth. Carl Edwards fifth. Joey Logano sixth. Denny Hamlin seventh. Martin Truex Jr. eighth. Matt Kenseth ninth. Jimmy Johnson 10th. Ryan Newman is 11th. Chase Elliott 12th. Austin Dillon 13th. Jamie McMurray 14th. Kyle Larson 15th. And Trevor Bayh 16th. Casey Kane and Ryan Blaney are on the outside looking in. The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series season will take a break this weekend, but it will return Saturday, August 20th, as they head to Bristol Motor Speedway. And, of course, if you tune into KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, we will have NASCAR Sprint Cup Series coverage for you. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
It's not too late to enroll at USU Eastern for the fall semester. USU Eastern has many degree options for many different individuals. Have you ever thought, I don't think I can afford to go to college? Well, here's a thought. You don't know if you can afford it if you don't look into it. Whether you're a student fresh out of high school or anyone else that has thought about going to college, call 613-5616 today and take the first step to a new beginning. Make sure to ask about financial aid options through FAFSA. Get off the procrastination train and head to USU Eastern. Let them help transform your life.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different five-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, this is John Duras, Fleet and Internet Sales Manager at Tony Basso GM. I'm a lifelong resident of Barbon County with nearly 40 years of sales and customer service experience. Check us out at TonyBassoGM.com. Call or text me at 650-7444.
The best price, a great deal, locally, every day at Tony Basso GM.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Zero name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the game. Zero name, no gimmicks. That's why I ain't got no gimmicks.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Going to talk some Major League Baseball here for a moment. The news over the weekend that A-Rod will play his final game for the Yankees on Friday. I say final game for the Yankees because, yes, I think we all expect A-Rod to be finished. Here's my question to you. Will A-Rod ever play another – will he play in the Major Leagues for another team? Do you foresee that happening?
I don't think so. I don't think a team takes a chance because – he can't play anymore.
Well, he can't run. He can't hit. He's a liability in the field, but yeah. He can hit.
Yeah, he can hit fastballs probably.
Maybe. I have enough faith in A-Rod at the plate. The problem is, I don't want to say he's a sideshow because Alex Rodriguez, in my mind, is one of the greatest baseball players that I have ever watched play. I know one of the things that will always plague A-Rod is the fact that, yeah, he had multiple run-ins with PEDs. I understand that. You take that out of the equation, he's still provided one of the greatest careers that I myself have witnessed during my lifetime. He's one of the greatest baseball players that I personally have watched, and I think a lot of people from my generation would agree on that, specifically if you don't let the PEDs taint your vision. And I say that because, again, for everything that's happened with A-Rod, the one thing that we have to remember, and again, he's not going to get into the Hall of Fame. A-Rod will not go into the Hall of Fame. One of the greatest baseball players of all time. I don't think they let him in, and I'm okay with that. But the guy did serve his time. And that's the one thing that I will remember about A-Rod. Yeah, he lied about it, but he fessed up. He got caught doing it again, and he had to serve a suspension. That's the problem with A-Rod. Although he delivered one of the greatest careers that, like I said, that I have ever watched in Major League Baseball, I think he could still hit. I think he could still be productive on a team that... Well, it has to be in the AL because he can't play. He can't play in the field. He's got a DH. I don't think anyone in the NL takes a chance on him, a risk on him, from a perspective of a pinch hitter. I don't see that happening. I mean, Jim Thome became that later on in his career. The difference was Jim Thome was still very productive at the plate, and I think Jim Thome was a very good locker room guy. What is A-Rod batting this year? 244, I believe, is what he's hitting.
I think so.
I think he's batting 244, 245, somewhere around there. I do believe that A-Rod could get another chance. I don't think he is. I think this is the last of A-Rod on Friday night. I'm a little sad because he's only 4 home runs shy of getting to the 700 club. The Yankees don't want him to get to the 700 club, though.
No, they don't. The little bonus kicker kicks in. His 2009 postseason run was one of the greatest postseason runs I've ever seen. And without that run in 2009, without Alex Rodriguez in 2009, the New York Yankees don't win the championship. What he did in 2009 in that playoff run was incredible.
Hey, he's played 22 years. I mean, he's played a long time.
He was fantastic in 2009.
He was fantastic several times throughout his career.
I know Derek Jeter is going to get a lot of love with the Yankees, but production-wise, Alex Rodriguez is a better baseball player than Derek Jeter.
But the one thing that Derek Jeter will never have with his name, attached to his name, is PED.
And he has 5 rings, and A-Rod has 1, but if you're basing off production, Alex Rodriguez is a better Yankee than Derek Jeter.
Go back to the 1996 season. A-Rod batted .358 for the Seattle Mariners when he was 20 years old. 1996. Batted .358. How many games did he play in? 146. That's an amazing stat. Batted .300 the following year. .310 the year after that. Then he went to Texas. Remember one of the biggest contracts? At that time, it was the biggest contract of all time. That's .318 for the Rangers, .300 the next year, .298 the year after that. Then he goes to the Yankees. Alex Rodriguez has been good for a very long time. I think a lot of people in this generation do not like Alex Rodriguez, and I understand that again, but if you glance at his career and you look at what he accomplished, PEDs or no PEDs, he won three AL MVPs. Joe DiMaggio, Yogi Berra, Mickey Mantle. That's elite, elite company. Stan Musial, Roy Campanella, Mike Schmidt, Barry Bonds, Albert Pujols, they all won at least three in the National League. It's pretty elite company. Home runs, again, he's four short of the 700 club. Puts him behind Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth. 40-plus home run seasons. Babe Ruth had 11, A-Rod 8. Ties him with Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Harmon Killebrew. No one else has more than 7. So again, we're putting A-Rod in elite company. 50-plus home run seasons. Sosa 4, McGuire 4, Babe Ruth 4, A-Rod 3. Do you see the trend there, though? Out of the four names that I just gave you, what's attached to three out of the four?
Steroids.
Yeah, he tanked his own career. I mean, runs scored. He's eighth all time, 2021. RBIs, he's third all time, 2084.
Third all time. I didn't know he was third all time. I knew he was up there. I didn't know he was third.
The only players to top 2,000 runs and RBIs, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, and Alex Rodriguez. Those are the only players to ever do that. Seasons with at least 120 RBIs, 9 times he's done that. Puts him behind Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. That's it. Seasons with at least 100 RBIs and 100 runs, 12 for A-Rod. Trails only Lou Gehrig. Extra base hits. I love this statistic. He's 6 all-time. Look at the names in front of him. Hank Aaron, Barry Bonds, Stan Musial, Babe Ruth, Willie Mays. This guy is one of the greatest talents that we've ever seen on the baseball field.
And if he doesn't have PEDs attached to his name, he might
probably goes down as the greatest.
He's probably the greatest baseball player that's ever lived.
Probably. I think that's a fair argument. But we'll never know because, yes, he did cheat. He cheated. And a lot of the statistics that I'm going over, we don't know if he was loading up on PEDs during the, you know, again, I mean, just look at him. 50-plus homers, 3 times he did that in his career. 50-plus home runs in one season. Sosa did it 4, McGuire did it 4, A-Rod did it 3. I don't know the time frame of when A-Rod was on. I don't think anyone really knows the time frame. Regardless of what he says, we will never know. But he was one of the greatest baseball players. And again, I think a lot of people have accepted the fact that we have a PED era. We have a steroid era of baseball.
Yes, we do.
I think a lot of people have just accepted that. Barry Bonds, Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, these are elite hitters. Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa. We just have an era. And there's a reason why guys like Derek Jeter and Ken Griffey Jr. stand out. I don't think Ken Griffey Jr. was a better baseball player than A-Rod.
No.
They played together in Seattle. I don't think he was better than Alex Rodriguez.
I think Barry Bonds is the greatest baseball player that's ever lived. PED or not. And then Alex Rodriguez is not that far behind him.
It's debatable, obviously, but again, we're talking about guys that have, and Barry Bonds is in a lot of these categories as well that I'm going off of as well. Again, they have PEDs attached to their name, and that's the bottom line. People will never view them in the light. Ken Griffey Jr. is getting a lot of love right now.
Just got his number retired, went in the Hall of Fame.
And a lot of that, look, he was fantastic as a baseball player, do not get me wrong. But to say Ken Griffey Jr. is one of the greatest of all time, meh. But look, he managed to put up Hall of Fame numbers without steroids in an era that was filled with steroids. That's why Ken Griffey Jr. is getting the amount of love that he's getting today. That's why not a lot of people are sad to say goodbye to A-Rod after 22 seasons in Major League Baseball. You have the steroid era. Now, we're going past that. Thankfully, we're getting past that. You see guys like Mike Trout, Bryce Harper coming up, which Bryce Harper, I think, has a legit chance to get to the 700 club as far as home runs go. But we're getting onto a new era where we can move on past the steroid era. But there's going to, in a baseball almanac, we're going to have a time frame labeled that, the steroid era. In A-Rod era, A-Rod is at the top of my list.
He's good.
He's very, very good. Final game of his Major League Baseball career. It's going to be Friday.
Against Tampa Bay.
Against Tampa. Right now they got to set with the Red Sox at Fenway.
They got to let him hit. Just put him in there and let him hit the rest of the week.
Tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, yeah, you got the storyline now of A-Rod and Big Poppy wrapping up their careers. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll come back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.
Do your employees get frustrated waiting for their computers to load? Does it take forever to upload photo or video files to your website? Emory Telecom's Extreme Internet is a surefire way to increase your employees' happiness, as well as your customers. Emory Telecom has internet at just the right speeds for business with 3 employees or max speeds for larger businesses. Ethernet connections are available for businesses with multiple locations. Don't let your slow internet cause your workforce to become unproductive or unprofitable. Call for Extreme Internet from Emory Telecom today, 613-9605.
The temperatures are heating up, and nothing goes better with hot summer days than ice cream from KFC and A&W. Take the kids down to KFC and A&W, and they can choose an ice cream cone, root beer freeze, or a polar swirl. And you can get a mug of ice-cold root beer for you. You'll be a hit when you show up at the family picnic with a gallon of KFC and A&W's famous homemade root beer. Or just take the family out to dinner at KFC and A&W for the best burgers in town. Summer is the best time to get to KFC and A&W.
Have you ever dreamed of driving a brand new Ford F-150? Well, dream no more, because there's never been a better time to buy one at Auto Farms Price Auto Group. Right now, you can save over $12,800 on the purchase of a new 2016 Ford F-150. With the best-in-class towing rating of 12,200 pounds and the highest EPA estimated fuel economy ratings, why wouldn't you want to buy a new F-150? Let your friends at Auto Farm get you into the truck of your dreams for a price you won't have nightmares over. Find them on Main Street and Price next to Sutherland's.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-458-3263. That's 1-800-458-3263. 1-800-458-3263.
And you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Now remember, help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Back for the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. And Team USA finally building a little bit of a cushion. Venezuela was a game opponent for a while.
Controlled the pace.
This is a team that's going to be very difficult to beat. I'm talking about Team USA. Right now they lead 48-26, and we're just about set to go into halftime. They really did a number in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Score was tied at the end of the first quarter, right? Am I reading that correctly?
Tied 18-18. You read that right, and then the second quarter came around.
30-8.
Yeah, 8 points, not going to get it done.
No.
You and I could probably get 8 points.
I couldn't score a single basket against Team USA. Now, this is the greatest team in the country and the world. It's almost crazy that it's this close at the end of the first half, but we'll talk more Olympics in the coming days. I'm happy that you think that highly of my particular game in basketball.
I think you get 8 points against Venezuela.
Against Venezuela? Well,
yeah. Against Team USA, maybe not.
No, I couldn't even get the ball across the penetration line. We're all out of time. We'll be back again to do it tomorrow. Again, great show today. A lot of fun talking national sports. We'll dive back into the local scene tomorrow right here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. Be safe. We're out.